The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
We begin our time of meditation with these adapted verses by John Suth, followed by a period of meditation led by Reverend Larry. To be of the earth is to know the restlessness of being a seed, the darkness of being planted, the struggle toward the light, the joy of bursting and bearing fruit, the love of being, nurturing, and of proliferating seeds of possibility, the decay of the seasons, the mystery of death, and the miracle of birth.
So let us join in a time of meditation followed by some music that has been prepared for us by Christine Perry and Isaac Strader. So imagine that within you is that seed of possibility that wants to break forth in this moment's living. Take a moment now and imagine what are some of the possibilities that are seeding themselves within you that are wanting to burst forth. And now imagine what are the barriers between you and those possibilities. In the dark soil of our lives, we are incubating possibilities. In the dark soil of our life, we are setting down roots to the source of life itself. Let's imagine bursting through that dark soil. And what are the possibilities within you that want to manifest themselves? And what would be the first glimpse? What would be the first shoot of that plant of you that wants to burst out into the world? How would you begin to notice yourself moving toward a possibility? What would it first begin to look like? And so as we move into the time of musical meditation, music and meditation, think about what is that one seed of possibility that you want to hold in your own heart. Think about the dark soil that might seem like a barrier, but can become for you the launching pad for something new in your life and in this world. So may it be.
Buried grain. Wheat that in dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again, that with the dead has been. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green. When our hearts are wintry, grieving, or in pain, love's touch can call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts, the dead and bare have been. Love is come again, like wheat that springeth green.
So, good morning. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Imagine that we are standing in front of a large rose window, similar to the window that you see in some cathedrals that was in Notre Dame. The window is composed of many colors of glass, each contained in its own way to create that beautiful pattern before us. Then let's imagine the bright sunlight that shines through that window as it is illuminated before us. But what is more, the light projects many of the colors of stained glass upon the floor before us. There are lights of reds and yellows and blues and greens and lavender, green and yellow, dancing with each other, all unique colors, some combination of colors. The sunlight projects colored lights that stream like lasers from the sun through the glass into the space where we are standing. This image can symbolize our Unitarian Universalist approach to religion. Like the varied colored glass in the window, we dare to draw from many sources: Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Zoroastrianism, humanism, and Christianity, and many more. Each tradition is an offering to the human condition. Each reflects a larger truth, but not one is a perfect reflection of that light of truth. It's up to each of us to return again and again to the dynamic interplay of light and color among the world's traditions and perspectives, and to find what speaks to us and what can guide us on the path before us. On this Sunday, Easter Sunday, as we draw some insights from the Christian tradition, we recognize its particular distinctiveness and also its interplay with other traditions, Judaism for sure, Greek philosophy, and most certainly even earth-based traditions that inform some of the rituals and the feasts that Christianity has incorporated into its tradition. Even the word Easter in many European traditions is much like the Jewish word Pesach for Passover. In Italian, it's Pasqua, in French, Pâques. So we know that these traditions of Judaism and Christianity are intertwined like two colors that dance upon the floor before us. Just like last week, I think I invited us to reflect upon the Passover story. I said that we could never step into the same story twice. The cycling back to these holidays, like Passover and like Easter, provide for us, as Joel Sift says, mirrors in time. These holidays offer sanctuaries in time, safe havens in which we have support and encouragement to confront challenges. We locate ourselves in the changes of the seasons, the agricultural cycle. We filter the stories through our own life experience, through these lenses of these holidays. So as we approach a familiar story once again, we are never the same person. The world is never the same. Indeed, we can never step into the same story twice because we are inevitably different. And so is the world that we look from. The lenses in which we revisit these traditional stories are different, most especially this year, this time. I know some Unitarian Universalists who would rather not step into the Easter story or any Christian story again at all. Stepping over, but stepping in, no thank you, they might say. But I can certainly understand this. I can understand that to varying degrees, we've all experienced some of the limitations and oppressions that came with the Christian, that come with the Christian territory. No worries. This morning's reflections are not about dogmas, but about imagination, using the story as a lens, not a doctrinal jackhammer. So Easter, let's pay attention to the story as story. I remember last year in our sanctuary when I told about entering the sanctuary on Easter morning at a church that I was serving in Boston years ago, I saw my friend Alice, a retired Universalist minister in her 80s. And she said to me as she saw me that morning, "Larry, I'm getting too old to roll away the stone." For me, it was a delightful and humorous memory. However, her reference to rolling away the stone was lost on some of our members, so we sorted it out in the moment. Do some of you remember that? So as the story goes, let's all have the same footing. I'm going to tell a little bit of the story. Jesus had come under suspicion of the governing and religious authorities in the occupied land of Israel. Jesus provided interpretation of the Jewish scriptures that put an emphasis on loving action. He disobeyed the purity laws that existed at his time on who you should talk with, who you should eat with. He invited everyone into his teaching and into his healing work. He invited everyone to supper in spite of what the laws said he should or should not do. Some of his teachings seemed to be similar to other zealots of his time who roused up the people against their Roman occupiers. The clincher, some say, is when Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem and people gathered on the streets on each side and waved palm branches and sang Hosanna. At that time, this would have had the appearance of a protest march, a revolt, which really scared those who were in power because of their enthusiasm and because of the various ways in which they felt empowered by that procession, that demonstration. So it turns out Jesus was arrested, had a mock trial, and was executed in the form of capital punishment used by the Roman occupiers at that time, crucifixion. And there he died. Jesus was placed in a rock-cut tomb belonging to Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy follower of Jesus, until after the Sabbath when his body could be prepared for burial. It's said that all of Jesus' male followers fled the scene, fearing for their own lives. Some apparently went all the way back to Capernaum, about 100 miles away. The gig was up as far as they were concerned. The women followers, however, stayed on. They persisted. So some of the women came to the tomb following the Sabbath to prepare Jesus' body for burial. They discovered that the stone enclosing the entrance of the tomb had indeed been rolled away, and the tomb was empty. In some of the stories about this event, an angel appears to these women and says, "Why are you looking for him here? He has risen." So that's the story. So we're not concerned about whether the story is true or not, yet we can still decipher the code embedded in this Easter story, understand why it is told, why it has captured the hearts of believers and unbelievers alike. We can encounter the story as the beginning of a conversation and not the end, not a final word. So understanding the story of Easter as a mirror in time, at this time, I'm particularly drawn to exploring the themes with you of rising, uprising, and resilience. Let's linger in the story just a little while longer. Let's imagine that we are actually among those disciples who experienced the arrest, the trial of sorts, and the execution of their beloved teacher, Jesus. Imagine the fear that you might feel of being also punished or executed from guilt by association. Imagine your impulse to pack up your bags and leave towards safety. Imagine the doubt you might be experiencing because this Son of Man, who some call the Son of God, was not even able to help himself. He seemed abandoned by his God. Given all of that, what hope could there be for us, the disciples probably felt. So imagine what it would be like for us to hide out, to sequester ourselves because of the dangers out there. We can come to feel isolated and uncertain and fearful, even despairing, when what and who we put our trust in seems to have failed us miserably. What will we depend on now? What will we depend on when what we thought was dependable seems no longer dependable? Don't we all have these moments in our own life when we retreated physically or even inwardly because there didn't seem to be another way out? We shrunk, we hunched our shoulders, we limited the periphery of our own gaze. We can actually seem smaller in those moments of inward and physical retreat. the world can even seem smaller and devoid of possibility. Can you think of moments like that in your own life right now? A pause and give us a chance to reflect on those moments where we retreated within ourselves, where the world seemed smaller and devoid of possibilities, or where we ourselves felt smaller. Let's take a moment to reflect on that. The very fact that we can remember a time when means that we've somehow have in our own story a then and a now, a journey from that kind of place of limitation and this kind of place of showing up and being in each other's presence. This year, of course, this time of year, these last several weeks, we are all hunkering down at home for a purpose, for limiting the spread of the coronavirus. And at the same time, as we grasp on to whatever securities that we can, provisions and protections, in order to feel safe, we can be holding a certain kind of uncertainty and the uncomfortable feelings and thoughts that crisis seems to provoke in us. Like, how long is this going to happen? How many months are they saying to us now? What do they want us to do now? So we've all had this kind of recent feeling, along with many in our world right now, of retreating in safety and balancing our fears and our hopes in a wobbly sort of way each day. For me, the miracle of the Easter story may be actually what happened after the events recorded in the story that I told you about the empty tomb. I personally tend to hold that the community that rose up following Jesus's death is the actual miracle. They persisted against their fears and the real dangers, and they strove in various ways at various levels of success to embody his teaching. That is a kind of resurrection of sorts. They could have sunk into despair. They could have retreated. They could have given up. But they found a way to persist. We can often sink into despair, yet we continue to rise up. That's the miracle of our own lives as well. The Easter story has encoded in it the message that something unexpected can rise up even from what seems tragic and endless. The Easter story conveys a message to us about the resiliency of the human spirit. Remember, the followers of Jesus who retreated in fear, they gradually, over time, reconstituted themselves as a passionate messengers of a gospel of radical love, and created inclusive communities called ecclesia, community of equals, across the empire. The Easter story conveys to us the message that love persists and wonders continue. At this time of year, this year, even in the midst of so much global pain and suffering and uncertainty in the world, we also witness the wonder of the splendid renewal of nature all around us. Winter becomes spring on its own glorious time, and we celebrate this once more in Easter. The Easter story reminds us of the possibility that regenerative powers are always at work within us and among us to revive our withered souls, to melt fears away, to soften our hardened hearts, and to thaw the barriers between one person and another, between earth and sky, thought and feeling, between ourselves and the spirit and mystery that illumines and surrounds us. Maybe the Easter story is just a yearly reminder that whatever our faith or our condition, that we have the opportunity to rise beyond the slumbers, maybe slumbers that we did not even know we were in. This year, we are particularly reminded that our despair is conditional. It does not define who we are or how we should respond. We can rise up in spite of, and maybe because of, despair. And we must. Easter is also a time, I'm going to say, of uprising. We often forget that the Christianity that many of us may have experienced, even if we were not Christian, was in its most domesticated and institutionalized form. We've experienced a Christianity that is centuries and centuries away from its early Jewish roots, and indeed from its radical and subversive origins in the movement that emerged following Jesus's death. For example, I doubt that they burned, stoned, or killed early Christians because they refused to pay their pledge. The threat from early pre-Constantinian Christianity was its radical views of each human being as a child of God or of a social system that could become a kingdom of love and justice. This kingdom, they said, is at hand. It's breaking forth. It's here and now, and it's not only in some hereafter. Before the church began colluding with the empire or vice versa, the message of the Jewish teacher and prophet Jesus and his early followers was empowering a new way of being in the world. Maybe the story of Easter can remind us that Jesus' message of revolutionary love and a new way of inclusive community did not have to die with him, and in fact requires constant tending and cultivating, as clearly the centuries that have followed him have made clear to us. Maybe the Easter story becomes a reminder of the possibility that any one of us could rise up and cry for more justice, for more compassion, even when governments do not respond readily enough, or strategically enough, or compassionately enough. Particularly during this time, we must rise up and speak out for those who are most impacted by this pandemic crisis. They are our siblings. They deserve as much care as we do. We are so keenly aware that our particular circumstances do not or should not define our worth, that we are truly interconnected across this globe in spite of the barriers of thought and custom that have tended to divide us from one another, degrade some of us, and deny some of us our basic living. This realm of love and justice is what has often been muffled in the institutions that have claimed to follow Jesus. It's our task to remind ourselves and to revive in ourselves this message in of how we can be in the world and be for one another and create a greater realm of love and justice. Maybe the Easter story is meant to be as disruptive then as it is celebratory. When we think we have it all figured out, all under control, Easter bursts forth to remind us of the rebirthing, the renewal, even in the resurrecting power of nature and within the human spirit and among human hearts, that can change how things are and bring them closer to how things should be. At this springtime of year, we have the wisdom of nature reminding us that there can be no price tag, no barriers to receiving the wondrous bounty and beauty of the graces of nature. Flowers blooming at our feet, birds performing concerts for all of us to hear, rains refreshing all of our air and replenishing it. Lo, the earth does awake today, and may we awaken as well to what wants to break forth in us, among us, and in our world. We, now this year at this time, see how critical it is that we do, that we pay attention, that we awake. And even though the word may not have been spoken out loud, we feel the hallelujahs within us, lifting our hearts in praise of what is and what could be. So we're going to have to make sense of this pandemic crisis when we look back on it, just as the earlier followers of Jesus didn't create the whole story of Easter just in the moment. It took them years to develop that narrative and to make sense of their own experience of loss and their own feeling of regeneration among themselves as a community. We will have stories to tell and retell in the future about this time. I sense that something is shifting in our consciousness, and we will point back to this time in the future with many stories of remember when, remember that time, remember how or that was a time when. The Easter story may have embedded in it a story about resilience, the capacity to bounce back, not from the dead, but to bounce back in this life again and again. This is a time, my friends, to tell our own stories of resilience to one another. This is the time to hear those stories within ourselves. This is the time to share those stories with loved ones and with others. The story can begin when I ask you the question, what allows you to bounce back? What allows you to persist? And maybe in our Matters of the Heart conversation today, we can begin to share some of our own responses to those questions. So the possibility of resurrection occurs again and again when we embody the message that love prevails over the death-like forces in our time. We shall not cower or relinquish what hope we have. No, we shall rise up and be part of an uprising of love and hope in our time. Imagine that rose window image that I began with. Now this time, let's imagine that that bright light shining through the window is our own love and our own compassion, our own passion for justice. Imagine all the colored glass in the window illuminated by our love, by our passion for justice, by our compassion. Imagine that each of those lights begin to dance on the floor before us is the results of our love, the results of our compassion, the results of our passion for justice going out into the world, so that we may rise to the occasion that so desperately needs us, so that we might have an uprising of love. So may it be.